International TV Distribution Hall of Fame. Moses Neimer, a new McLuhan, but with a mission to reinvent television, by Dom Serafini. Moshe Moses Neimer was born sometime in 1942. He isn't sure of the exact date, while his father, Aaron, who was from Latvia, and his mother, Chaya Eppelschweig, who hailed from Poland, were on a train to Kulyab in Tajik, which was then part of the USSR, but is now known as Kolob and is in Tajikistan, to escape the Holocaust, each as a sole survivor of their respective families. After World War II ended, the Neimers went to Poland, then West Berlin, then a displaced persons camp in Heisisch, Lichtenau, Germany, before finally arriving in Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada, as refugees in 1948. Shortly thereafter, they settled in Montreal, and eventually the young Moshe went to Toronto. This nomadic existence allowed him to be able to eruditely argue in four languages: Russian, Hebrew, French, and English. As an undergrad, he even served as president of McGill University's debating union and changed his official name from Moshe to Moses. Neimer documented his parents' escape from the Nazis in the book Passages, Welcome Home to Canada, Doubleday Canada 2002, by Michael Ignatieff and Rudyard Griffiths. In its 2010 edition, the Canadian Encyclopedia reported that Neimer developed a reputation as the bad boy of Canadian television due to his aggressive pursuits of opportunities, as well as his aggressive sexuality, which the Toronto Star referred to in a 2009 article as his most vivid personality tic. He is known for his tight control of his image in the media and the way he crafts an enigmatic persona through the numerous contradictions in his work and life. However, the Encyclopedia continued, in 2006, in recognition of Neimer's contribution to the Canadian media landscape, the City of Toronto designated the area around City TV, the TV station that he founded, at 299 Queen Street West, as Moses Neimer Way. The street sign wasn't actually erected until 2008. There is also a Marshall McLuhan Way on nearby St. Joseph Street to honor the acclaimed Canadian media philosopher. For this report, Video Age contacted three of Neimer's former associates, each of whom declined to explain the challenging relationship they had with him. While the fourth one, a 25-year veteran of City TV, answered, he would very quickly get frustrated by the failure of others to see and execute his vision. He got frustrated when it took an idea of his a long time to roll out. He was prepared to be wrong, but his ideas and concepts were usually very well thought through, so it would take a very solid set of arguments to move him from a position. And he was usually right. Neimer's interest in television first manifested at age 13 when he became a naturalized Canadian citizen and used $200 Canadian of his bar mitzvah money to buy his family a 1955 Admiral TV set. This was just 3 years after the inauguration of television services by the state-owned CBC. That must have left a lasting impression on him, since in 1992, 37 years after that first TV set, he founded the Moses Neimer TV, MZTV, Museum, which has a large collection of TV equipment dating from the early days of television that he began collecting in the 1980s and originally kept in the City TV building. That particular Admiral TV set is not at the museum, but there are other Admiral models in the collection, mostly from the 1940s, he said. Considering that this journalist wrote a book on the history of television in 1975, he quickly accepted an invitation from Neimer to visit the MZTV Museum's opening reception, which was held during a blizzard in December 1995 at the Royal Ontario Museum in Toronto. This reporter was also on hand in February 2014 when the museum relocated to the Liberty Village in Toronto, the same site as Neimer's new company, Zoomer Media Group. Included among the rare artifacts were inventions by such scientists as Charles Jenkins, John Baird, Vladimir Zvorkin, Lee DeForest, Boris Rosing, and Alan B. Dumont, among others. Zworykin was one of the inventors this reporter had an opportunity to interview. The very first time this reporter encountered Nimer was in 1990 during a conference in the Blue Mountains of Australia west of Sydney. It started out rather unpleasantly as Nimer was seated behind him, nervously kicking his chair's legs. However, when Nimer went up to the podium to make a presentation, this journalist quickly became a Nimerista, as his followers are called, as the presentation about innovative forms of television was mesmerizingly funny. A feature story followed in the October 1991 issue of Video Age after a visit to his station. However, the amusing tone of the article was not appreciated by Nimer, for whom amusement is a serious business. Not that writing about Nimer is easy. A Google search produced 49,400 results, and it is this abundance of information about him that makes the writing harder, as there are so many discrepancies and distortions out there, and it's hard to sort them all out. In 1990, Nimer was running City TV, the Toronto TV station he had co-founded in 1972. After Nimer left the CBC in 1969, following the rejection of an experimental program he'd proposed, Nimer became an analyst at Helix Investments, a venture capital firm. There he was introduced to Israel Sruki Switzer, chief engineer at McLean Hunter's new Toronto cable TV service. At that time, Nimer was already known nationally, having hosted a popular CBC radio show, Cross Country Checkup, and the CBC TV show, The Way It Is, as well as co-hosted the TV show, Take 30. He also wrote and produced a series on the history of the Russian Revolution. Nimer started at the CBC in Toronto in 1965. Then, following a corporate dispute, he was exiled to Ottawa, but he returned to Toronto 2 years later, before leaving in 1969. Switzer offered Nimer the opportunity to become a partner and to create and run a local TV station that could be rebroadcast via cable. With all of the VHF television licenses in Toronto taken, the key partners, Nimer, Switzer's journalist wife Phyllis, film producer Edgar Cowan, Canadian Senator Jerry Grafstein, Lorne Michaels, creator of Saturday Night Live, and financier Ben Webster, Nimer's boss at Helix, applied and, in 1971, were awarded the city's first UHF commercial broadcasting license on Channel 79. The frequency was changed to 57 in 1983. The call letters of the station were CITY-TV, and, under the City TV brand, they began broadcasting the following year with a $1.5 million Canadian investment from a total of 36 investors. That was Canada's first TV license since 1961, when CTV was created as Canada's first private TV network with 9 affiliates. Before 1961, private TV stations only rebroadcast CBC programs. City TV studios were located at 99 Queen Street East, a 15-minute walk from its current address at 299 Queen Street West. Phyllis, then City TV's vice president, was also the mother of Jay Switzer, who passed away in 2018 and who, in 2002, became the group's president. City TV became Toronto's first independent, example, not affiliated, and privately owned local TV station, which in 1996 became a superstation, expanding its cable TV coverage up to Ottawa. At City TV, Nimer offered a distinctive style of broadcasting with a studied, casual format aimed at young audiences. He equipped his reporters with cameras so they could shoot the stories themselves. He also hired a diverse staff, some of whom lacked TV experience, and programmed Friday night erotica. He knocked down the TV studio walls and let the passerby public see what was happening inside. He called the concept a studio-less station. However, after 3 years, City TV was running out of money, and 45% of the station was sold to the Bronfman family's Multiple Access, but Nimer still retained 25% ownership. In 1977, Montreal's Multiple Access sold its stake to Toronto's Chum, a media company founded in 1945, whose major shareholder was Alan Waters, for $13 million Canadian dollars. Chum purchased City TV outright in 1981 by buying Nimer's remaining interest in the station. Notwithstanding this, Nimer continued on as president and, later, was made a vice president of the parent company. Video Age can't detail the financial aspects of these transactions, as when asked about them, Nimer simply stated that he didn't exactly recall and that the information is not really relevant to the story. With City TV's newfound financial stability, 1981 to 1990 was a hugely prolific and creative period for Nimer. During the 1990s, he presided over a considerable expansion of the Chum television group. In 1992, Nimer ventured outside Canada as part of a group that included TAMS Television, which bid for the license for a fifth British TV channel, which was ultimately awarded to a competing consortium led by Pearson. With expansion, however, came corporate limitations that, ultimately, in 2003, forced him out. But let's proceed chronologically. In 1979, 2 years before the birth of music television, MTV, in the U.S., Nimer helped to develop John Martin's idea of a music channel. Martin, 1947 to 2006, moved to Canada from Manchester, UK, in 1967 to work at the CBC. His idea of a rock and talk TV show was accepted by Nimer, and in 1979, the new Music Weekly TV show was born on City TV. With the success of the show, Martin proposed a full channel devoted to music to Nimer. Much Music launched in 1984. In 1990, Nimer created the Speaker Corner, a video booth mounted outside the City TV building where passersby could videotape short messages, some of which were televised. Speaker Corner, which lasted until 2008, predated the arrival of social media, which didn't happen until Six Degrees in 1997 and MySpace in 2003, by a number of years, but never progressed into the social media that we know today, even though the format was licensed to TV stations in several countries, including Argentina, Colombia, Spain, and Finland. Nimer also predicted that television would move towards specialized channels, which prompted him to create Bravo, a style and arts channel, in 1995, Space, a science fiction channel, in 1997, and Cable Pulse 24, Canada's first 24-hour local news channel, in 1998. He began using the word original to promote the channels, as in Bravo's original and Space's original. Later in 2001, this method was extended to City TV programs such as Six City Original. This was done much earlier than Netflix, which famously began using the term in 2012. When Nimer was, by some news accounts, forced out in 2003, Chum had 28 radio stations, 8 local TV stations, and 17 specialty channels. About the reason for his dismissal, Nimer commented, "Creativity is about surprises. Bay Street is about no surprises." Bay Street is Toronto's financial district, so it is assumed that he means that his investors only cared about the bottom line. One newspaper account at the time explained, "He was an establishment outsider who wore a ponytail and created a pioneering environment in what was becoming a mature and staid business." With his dismissal, City TV's international content distribution business was also ended. This was a business that Nimer had started in 1991. Before closing, it had gone through 3 different content sales executives. In 2007, Chum was acquired by CTV Globe Media, now Bell Media, for $1.4 billion Canadian. However, regulators demanded that Chum's five city TV local stations be sold to increase competition, and Rogers Communications purchased them for $137.5 million Canadian. City TV is still housed in the Chum building, an iconic former publishing building in Toronto's downtown that Chum purchased in 1987. The building also serves as Bell Media's headquarters. But Nimer did not remain idle. In addition to putting together a series of media ventures, he returned to the CBC in 2005 to executive produce the TV comedy Rumours, a show that, unfortunately, was cancelled in mid-season. Fortunately, though, 4 years after leaving Chum, Nimer reconciled with the print media that he previously bashed by acquiring control of Kemmer Publishing, publisher of Carp magazine, the advocacy association for aging Canadians. While at Harvard, he'd considered becoming a print journalist, but later in 1995, he reneged on the medium when he produced TVTV, The Television Revolution, a three-hour documentary on the image versus the printed word that prompted him to create the Ten Commandments of Television, one of which, Rule 7, was print-created illiteracy, TV is democratic. But after rekindling his love affair with printed journalism in 2008, he relaunched the Carp publication as Zoomer Magazine. It is interesting that at a young age he promoted youth, but now, as a mature man, he has become an advocate for Canada's 15.8 million people aged 50-plus, known in Nimer parlance as Zoomers or Boomers with Zip. In 2006, under the Zoomer Media umbrella, which, by the way, is abbreviated as ZM, which is the reverse of MZ, Nimer's initials, he acquired the commercial classical radio station CFMX-FM, later renamed CFMZ-FM, for the Toronto coverage while keeping its old call letters for its original coverage area, Cobourg, Ontario. The following year, he acquired CHWO-AM, a Toronto pop music radio station. Today, both stations are under the direction of his sister, Libby Nimer, a journalist who worked for the Associated Press and Global Television, and is a national spokesperson for Pancreatic Cancer Canada. A younger brother, Sam, is a venture capitalist. Moses, on the other hand, is president of CARP and an outspoken supporter of assisted suicide in Canada. In 2009, he acquired the media assets of SVOX Foundation for $25 million Canadian, which included two specialty channels of religious-oriented TV programming, Vision TV and One TV, and two conventional stations, CHNU-TV, Joy TV, and CIIT-TV, Faith TV. In 2009, Nimer merged his own private company, MZ Media, which owned the radio stations and a conference organization, into Zoomer Media, which is 66.28% owned by Nimer through his Olympus Management Limited. Fairfax Financial, an insurance company, owns 28%, while the rest is floated in the TSX-V exchange. The conference organization Idea City was founded in 2001. This three-day conference is held annually in the month of June and features Nimer as he interviews some 50 prominent personalities. Zoomer Media and CARP are located in the Zoomerplex, a 10,522-square-meter state-of-the-art production and live event complex in Toronto's Liberty Village, which also houses the 150-seat Zoomer Hall and the MZ TV Museum. Nimer's work as an actor includes Louis Malle's Atlantic City, 1980, The Best Revenge, 1984, and Being Julia, 2004. He's also toiled as a theater producer. His productions included the Canadian version of Miss Margarita's Way, 1976, and Tamara, 1981. Tamara was a play in which the audience followed the plot by moving from room to room, and which starred Marilyn Lightstone, his longtime partner. They met when both were students at McGill University. This has been International TV Distribution Hall of Fame, Moses Neimer, by Dom Serafini.